Kidding, just kidding. The message for today, I'm calling Press On This New Year. Press On This New Year. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask that you would anoint this time. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God. I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you would give me the words, Lord, that I need to share, and that would be nothing of the flesh, but only of your spirit, O God. I pray your blessing over every hearer in Yeshua's name. Amen. I want to start with this scripture from Philippians chapter 3 that actually my son Joshua shared earlier, because these are exactly the things that we need to grow in and learn in this coming year. And Philippians, if you have your Bibles with you, either one of these actual paper ones that some of you may have forgot what they look like, but they look like this, or you may have it on your phone or a tablet, whatever it means, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And starting at verse 8, Philippians 3, verse 8. And it says the following: More than that, I consider all things to be lost in comparison to the surpassing value of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I consider them garbage, in order that I might gain Messiah and be found in him, not having my righteousness derived from the Torah, but one that is through trusting in the Messiah. The righteousness from God based on my trust. My aim is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, if somehow I might arrive at the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or been made perfected, but I press on, if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal, for the reward of the upward calling of God in Messiah Yeshua. Now, have any of you here made any New Year's resolutions? Some of you may have not. If so, you have plenty of company, because a lot of people do that. You know, researchers have found that about one-third of Americans make resolutions each New Year. Because it's our human nature. When we pass some significant milestone in our life, like a new year, we like to pause and look at and evaluate and contemplate how we're doing. How are you doing? And oftentimes we find areas that we need to improve. We need to change in. We need to grow in. And the areas people most often resolve to change are pretty consistent among people. You may want to lose weight this coming new year. I actually lost weight and I wasn't even trying to. Praise the Lord for that. I went off of a medication I've been on for 30 years. And I had trouble even eating for a while. And I lost weight. My pants are loose and they've fallen off all the time. And so if I'm up here and you see my pants start to fall down, don't laugh at me, okay? It's good. I've lost some weight. It's a good thing. But some of us want to lose weight this year. Some of us say, you know what? This year I'm really going to get on that treadmill. I'm really going to exercise. I'm going to get my body in shape. Right, Bob? We're going to do it this year. We're going to do it this year. Some of us say, you know what? I really want to get out of debt this year. I'm tired to be a slave to debt. I want those credit cards paid off. I want all my bills gone. No more debt. Some of us say, you know, I want to spend more time with my family. I don't spend enough time with them. I want to spend more time with my family and get to know my wife or my husband again and my children. Maybe you want to quit some kind of bad habit. Maybe you smoke cigarettes and you want to quit smoking cigarettes. Maybe you do some other things which are a little bit more risque than that even. And you want to quit that as well. And without fail, the number of folks joining Weight Watchers or gyms in January, it skyrockets. You just go, you can go look it up. January, gym membership just skyrockets. And Weight Watchers, it skyrockets. And it's human nature to want to do better. It's also human nature to fail. Did you know that? Most resolutions last about 3 days to 3 weeks, somewhere in between that. And by February, certainly, we're all back in the same old ruts that we promised ourselves that we're going to get out of. And it doesn't take long for reality to snuff out what little bit of willpower and the little bit of enthusiasm that we might have had. And research has found that less than 10% of us succeed in our resolutions. Less than 10%. Why is that? Why is it so hard for us to change? Because people often set some unrealistic goals for themselves. Instead of setting a goal to lose 10 pounds, they say, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. I'm going to get rid of 100 pounds. Well, that may be what you want, but it may not be realistic to do that. Or they just may make too many resolutions at once, like, I'm going to start eating right, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to read my Bible every day, I'm going to spend more time in prayer every day, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. There's just too many things, too many goals, too many resolutions. Although they're all wonderful, but you're bound to fail. But 2 or 3 days into it, they're overwhelmed by all the changes that they want to do in their lives. We often fail because we underestimate how difficult it is to change. And let me tell you, from a person who's experienced it personally, it's hard to change. You get set in your ways and your habits and the things you do, and it's hard to change, no matter how much you want to. And some fail in resolutions because they lack the commitment necessary to follow through. They've developed a pattern of quitting whenever they experience difficulty. And that's true with so many people. Whenever they begin to see any kind of difficulty or any problem, they just quit right away, rather than following through. And it's a pattern in their lives, starting something, making a commitment, making a resolution, and just quitting and never completing it. So they've grown to accept and even expect failure. Now that sounds kind of strange, but a lot of us expect failure. We expect to fail. And sometimes we don't even try. But when we do try, we know we're going to fail anyway, so why even do it? It takes commitment. It takes a relationship with the Lord. All this has led many to reject New Year's resolutions altogether. The thinking goes, why attempt something that's going to be doomed to fail anyway? Why should I even try? Why pretend that change is possible when you know you're going to blow it anyway? So why even try? To some, resolution making is a waste of time because it leaves them feeling worse about themselves when they're not able to keep those resolutions. So why should I even do it? Right? That makes sense. You know, I understand the fear of failure, but at the same time, all of us have areas in our lives that need improvement. I don't think there's anybody in this room who can truthfully say, I don't need to improve areas in my life. All of us have things we should be doing better. And January has been considered the perfect time to make those changes for centuries. You know, this month, it's called January because the Romans named it after their false god Janus, which was depicted as having two faces. One looking back at the old year with regret, and the other looking forward to the new year with hope. And the Romans understood that at the start of a new year, we can't help but be hopeful for improvement. You know, maybe you look back at 2017. You know, to me, 2017 just seemed like yesterday. Oh, it was, wasn't it? Actually, I saw that. Someone posted that on Facebook. And it was January 1st. Just January 1st. And they said, wow, 2017 seems just like yesterday. I thought that was kind of cute. But maybe you look back at 2017 and you see nothing but grief and pain and sadness. Maybe you see failure in the old year. And so now, looking into 2018, you have a desire to do some things differently. But today I want to show you from God's words how you can get a fresh start in this new year by pressing on. There are three things you need to do according to Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. Number one, first, if you want a new start, you must forget the things which are behind. Listen to the wisdom from verse 13 from Philippians 8, chapter 3, which we read. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. And that's a problem with so many people. If you want a fresh start in this year, you have to forget the things which are behind you. And don't let those things cripple you. If you keep holding on to the hurts, the pains from the past, you're never going to go forward. If you have hope to change, there are some things in the past that you need to forget. Now I want to look at two things. You need to forget about your failures. You need to confess them before God and then move on. If you have done or what you have done is under the blood of Messiah, just leave it there. Then quit obsessing over it continually. God's promised forgiveness to us on the basis of our union with the Messiah, Yeshua. And John reminds us that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Also, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said in Romans 8, 1, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in the Messiah, Yeshua. And God told Peter in Acts chapter 10, what God has made clean, you must not consider unholy. Why is that? Because as the psalmist declared in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed the transgressions from us. So forget the past already. It's behind us. I'm not in the least attempting here to diminish the awfulness of sin. Because sin is awful. Sin is terrible. But I'm here to remind you, according to God's word, therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, that he is a new creation. You are a new creation. The old things, they've passed away. They're gone. Behold, all things have become new. If you expect to grow and change in 2018, you've got to put the past behind you. Your failures, your sin, the areas that you messed up in, you've got to leave them under the blood of Yeshua and leave them behind you. Otherwise, you're never going to move forward in 2018. Don't let past failures define who you are. When Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, looked back in his own life, he saw a lot of things that he was ashamed of. Remember, the Apostle Paul, he had blasphemed the name of Yeshua. He persecuted the body of Messiah, the church. He persecuted it. He opposed the good news in every way. He tried to kill those who were followers of the way. But he was no longer that man anymore. He had been forgiven. When Yeshua appeared to him on that road to Damascus, his eyes were literally changed. First, he had what appeared like shells or covering over his eyes. But God opened his eyes and he was able to see the light and the truth and understand what he had did and know that God had called him to change. He refused to allow his past failures to define who he was. God no longer saw him that way, and neither does God see you that way. You know, sometimes it's good to look back, because it's good sometimes to remind ourselves of the greatness of God's grace. It keeps us humble. Irene and I were just talking about her book that she wrote. Just last night, we got a card in the mail from some woman who said that she met us someplace we've never been before. And she was telling about how wonderful it was speaking or talking with us, mainly Irene, and about Irene's testimony. And she got a copy of Irene's book, and she's about ready to read it, and all these things. I'm not sure who this woman is and who, where we even saw her before, but in Irene's book, it just tells of the life that she lived, and God changed her, totally transformed her life, that she wasn't that person anymore. But as you read it, it helps us to remember who we are, how far God has taken us from that place that we were, and how he's changed us, and how we're covered under his blood. It keeps us humble. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget the sin that you were once involved in. Otherwise, we become prideful, and then we look down on other people, and we forget where we came from. Keeping us humble, it makes us thankful. But also, to dwell in the past is dooming you to repeat it, and that's not something you want to do. Look at the difference between the windshield and the rearview mirror. The rearview mirror is much smaller because it's designed for us to briefly glance at it, not to stare at it. Safe driving requires you to focus on what's in front of you, not what's going on behind you. Look forward. Can be said of life. If you want to succeed, you've got to let go of the past. But past failures are not all we need to forget. We need to forget past successes also. In fact, when you read what the Apostle Paul says in this chapter in Philippians, he tells us about the things that he left behind. How he would not allow his previous successes to prevent him from being all that God wanted him to be. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, remember? His wisdom was astounding. All his knowledge and all his learning and all that he achieved. And all those things were for nothing for the sake of the Messiah. They were for nothing. He would not allow his previous successes to prevent him from being all that God wanted him to be. Past victories can lead us to be satisfied, nostalgic, and virtually useless. There are a lot of believers who are virtually useless in the work today. A lot of you out there are not doing much for the kingdom of God. Sometimes you think, well, I used to do this, and I once did that, and I prayed for a person 23 years ago, I remember. I witnessed, it was when I was a new believer, I witnessed to this person 47 years ago, and you're satisfied in your past successes. Like, you don't have to do anymore. How they used to do this, how they used to do that, coasting into retirement without regard for what's work that needs to be done today. Listen, there's plenty of work that needs to be done out there for the kingdom of God. Don't look at what you've done in the past. What are you doing now? What are you doing today for the kingdom of God? And dead congregations have the tendency of sitting on former accomplishments. Self-satisfied without desire or burden for the work of the Lord today. And I pray that that's not us here. in this congregation, that we desire to see the lost saved. We ought to learn from our past, not yearn for our past. Secondly, not only should you forget those things behind you, focus on the things that are before you. Focus on the things in front of you. Listen to it again. Straining from Philippians, straining toward what is ahead. What is ahead of you? Strain, reach out, stretch for what is ahead of you. It says, I press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God in Messiah Yeshua. And Rosh Hashanah, the Apostle Paul here is alluding to the Olympic athlete who races in the competitions with others to win that prize. He runs with all of his might as fast as he can. And as he approaches the finish line, he stretches out, stretches, and he leans as far as he can to touch the rope first in order to cross that finish line before anyone else. At that moment, he's not thinking about his past successes or his failures. His entire focus is on winning the race that's on hand. And two things need to be remembered here. First, this race demands our whole being, our whole self, everything that we are, everything that we have. And in regard to serving the Lord right now, we have to stretch out and win that race. Regarding service to God, he appreciates hearing about what we've done for him, I'm sure. Lord, you know, I led this person and that person to the Lord, but it's been a long time, many years ago, and I'm not really doing that stuff anymore. I'm sure, you know, the Lord says, well, that was good. That's good that the things you did those things, but what's happening right now? What's going on in your life right now? When was the last time you shared with anybody? When was the last time you prayed with anybody? When was the last time you even prayed? When was the last time you even read your scriptures? And I think the Lord says, don't necessarily tell me about all the beautiful things you've done in the past. Let me see the beautiful things you're doing now for me. That's what he's interested. What are you doing right now? As believers, it ought to be our passion to serve the Lord with excellence. Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes that whatever we put our hands to ought to be done with all of our might. We ought never to be satisfied with less than our very best when it comes to serving the Lord. He deserves our very best, nothing less. If you're a teacher, then you ought to strive to be your very best. If you're a nursery worker or a youth worker, you ought to devote yourself to that thing with all of your heart. Are you good at singing? How about just giving? Some people have a gift of giving, soul winning. Whatever God puts on your heart to do for him, do it with all of your heart. Do it with excellence. Do it at your very best. Don't be one of those who skirts on with a little preparation or a little effort as possible. Give yourself to the thing, like an athlete preparing for competition. You ever see those weightlifters? I remember one time watching a documentary on Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Ghoulinator. He would, I don't know how many hours and hours a day, lift those weights and he'd strain those muscles and he'd push himself. And he then became, you know, Mr. Olympian and Mr. Universe and all these things because he pushed himself and he did his very best. If only we could do the same thing in our lives and in our relationship with God. Secondly, we need to keep the goal in sight. And what is the goal? Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul explains, I press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God in the Messiah Yeshua. The person who trains for athletic competition doesn't sacrifice and spend all those hours because he wants to come in second place. Do you know of anybody who wants to compete and come in second place? No. You compete because you want to come in first place. You want to win. Our goal is to win, be it in the Olympics or Whatever it is, that's always needs to be on our mind, that we want to do our best and we want to win. He wants us to be called up to the stand. You know, in the Olympics where the winner is in the center and then the second place and third place, he wants us to be on the top platform, on the head of the stand, with that crown on our head, so he can say, "Well done, my faithful servant, and you I'm well pleased." I believe that was Rav Shaul's goal as well. He knew that one day he would stand before the judge of this universe, and he wanted him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." It was not the applause of men that he was looking for, but the approval of God, which he desired. In light of all that Yeshua had done for him, he wanted to give God his very best. And there are many well-meaning believers who say, "I don't care anything about rewards. Making it to heaven will be good enough for me." They don't realize what they're saying. Serving the Lord with all your might is the greatest way we have of worshiping Him. I don't want to get by and make it to heaven just by the skin of my teeth. You ever hear that saying? The skin of your teeth? You know, that's in the Bible. Did you know that? It's in the book of Job. Getting by the skin of your teeth. I don't want to make it to heaven just barely. I want to go in there triumphant as a child of God. I want heaven to clap when I go through those. I don't know if we have pearly gates or what they are, but I want to hear a big clap, a big like this. Yay! We've been waiting for you a long time. I hope it's a long time. Or do you want someone to say, "Yeah, we knew you'd make it one way or the other"? No, that's not what I'm looking for. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. As I said, the ultimate goal of the believer ought to be honoring the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All crowns we receive in heaven will cast at His feet as an offering of praise for all that Yeshua means to us. As if to say, "I would never have accomplished anything, Lord, without you." And I, for one, don't want to be empty-handed on that day either. The ultimate goal of the believer ought to be honoring the Lord. As we stand on the brink of this new year, I want you to ask yourself, what can I do this year that will help to bring glory and honor to the Lord? What can you do this year to bring glory and honor to the Lord? That's what's important. Number three, and then finally, not only should we forget those things that are behind and focus on those things before us, third, we should fulfill those things that are beyond us. Listen to verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained all this or been made perfected, but I press on, if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me." Commenting on this passage, M.R. Dehan said, "Self-satisfaction is the death of progress. Dissatisfaction with past accomplishments is the mother of invention. Pity the man who is content with his own progress and feels that he has arrived. This is all the truer in the life of the believer. We need to be dissatisfied. We need to want and desire more and more from the Lord. Nothing is as deadly as self-satisfaction. The most boring people are those who take up time telling us what they have done when they ought to be telling us what they're doing. No one would have found fault with Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, had he reached a place in his life where he said, "You know, I'm just going to retire now. I'm kind of tired. I've worked hard. I've served the Lord faithfully all these years. You know, I've been shipwrecked. I've starved to death. I've been beaten and whipped and cold and naked and hungry and all these things. You know, I think I'm going to retire now. But he didn't say that. Instead, he said, I haven't attained what I want to attain. I have not reached that place that I want to be. I'm not yet finished. I have not yet finished the race. Joshua would not be satisfied until he took his last breath, giving his all to Yeshua, and he did. He did. As he died the martyr's death in Rome. Joshua did a work that was beyond him. Working by day, preaching by night, he suffered just about every hardship a man could endure. As I said, from starvation, rejection, controversy, he was stoned, beaten, left for dead. Demands many, rewards few. The average man, woman would have folded under the weight of this. But he was empowered by God to do a work that was beyond him. Establishing congregations all over the Middle East and portions of Europe and Asia, sold out, utterly committed to God. Listen, people. The believer's life is beyond us. It has to be beyond us. Serving the Lord with perseverance and power is something beyond us. As we look at the call of God upon our lives, upon our congregation, our synagogue here, to reach souls for the Messiah, to help family and friends find the love, the life of Messiah, to change lives and eternal destinies, the work is beyond us. But God is able to do great things through those who are not satisfied. He's able to achieve great things through ordinary people completely surrendered to him and his will. And looking back, we're certainly thankful for all that the Lord has done. But I refuse to focus on that. I believe God is going to take us places we have not yet been and do things we have not yet done. He is well able to do exceedingly above all that we could ask or think. I believe he's asking you for 2018, will you embrace the challenge of a work that is beyond you and beyond us in 2018? Are you willing to do that? Will you give more of yourself this year than you did last year in the past? And the Lord can do mighty things through a people unwilling to settle for less. And do you need a fresh start? Well, we just sang the song, Fresh Wind. So the three things that you need to do. Forget the things that are behind you. Focus on the things that are before you. And fulfill the things that are beyond you. Do you need to make a commitment to the Lord today, this morning, this afternoon now? Now is your chance to do that. Commit yourself. Why don't we just bow our heads for a minute? And remember, we need to forget the things behind us. Don't let those things cripple us. Focus on the things before us. Look straight ahead. And fulfill the things beyond you. There are things beyond you yet. Commit yourself to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to strain forward to reach that goal, which I'm called heavenward. I'm going to win the race, okay? Thank you, Lord.